I want to just jump right into talking about religion. I want to talk about the different faiths of the world and what they believe.
Psych, motherfuckers. I tricked you. It's just me this time. Me. Welcome back to another episode of Chris Dunn reviews Netflix shows that he watched this week. It's the three body problem. Netflix's The Three Body Problem, based on the novel by Shisin Liu. It was good. Fuck. Now I gotta think of stuff to say. Give me a sec. Yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was good. Fuck you. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, yeah, it was different. It was different from the books. And you know what? That's good. The books are good. I like the books. The books are also weird. These were weird books. You know? And yes, it was weird in the show that, like, all of the most important people in future history, like the three protagonists, like all three books have sections at the beginning that take place in the modern day, and they all follow like a different protagonist. All of those protagonists in the Netflix show, they're all in the show and they're all like college buddies, which is weird, right? Like the idea that all of the most important people in human history post the modern day just like happen to all like hang out at like a beach house. But like, I like them better because in like the books, for one, they're all dudes and like, it, you know, yeah, it's good. It's good. You know, make it a little bit more diverse gender wise. They're all dudes and like, well, they're all dudes except the last one. And the first one is like, they all all of Shisin Liu's male protagonists have like stalker energy. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not stalkers, but they feel like, it feels like they're just like a couple bad weeks away from that. Like, all of his male protagonists have like deeply complicated and strange relationships with women. And they don't do that in the show, and that's good. I like that, actually. It feels way less weird. Those are interesting books. I like those books a lot. I really enjoyed those books. The ideas are really cool. But some of like the human subtext, like the less thinking about like like speculating about aliens, and when they're just talking about like humans and how humans are and how humans feel, some of the stuff in those books is really weird. Like it kind of feels like the theme of the last book. And, you know, I could be an idiot. I listened to it on audiobook, and some people think that that doesn't count. But, like, it really does feel like one of the themes of the last book in the series is that women are bad leaders. And that they shouldn't lead. And that's what makes them beautiful, like a delicate spring flower. But, more importantly, they're bad leaders and they shouldn't do it. Reread Death's End. That kind of feels like what the takeaway of that story is. To a large extent. But they're great books. They're great books. And I liked the show. Even with all the changes. The books kind of dissolve into like sort of a future history novel after a certain point. Or more like a future history textbook, I should say. The show does a good job of like turning them into a TV show. And look, if you want a super accurate retelling of the books, there's a Chinese show that they made like last year, and it's fine. It's pretty good. You know, I like that show too. It definitely has some of it retains some of the weird sexual politics from the trilogy, but, on the bright side, you know, I don't know what the bright side is. But it also, like, you know, on the flip side of that, the Chinese version of the show, you know, the books spend a lot of time giving you, like, a really close look at, like, the horrors of, like, the Maoist communist Chinese government that, weirdly enough, the Chinese version of the show kind of glazes over. They don't really spend that much time there. They kind of flash there briefly, and they address it a bit. But, like, it's not, you know, they don't, you can tell that, like, the government was like, you know, we don't need to keep all these scenes. And the American show, so, like, the first scene is a physicist getting beaten to death by communists. Bad communists, for the record. I want to be clear about that. These are bad communists, not the cool, sexy kind that I am. These are authoritarian grifters posing as communists. I'm getting off track. The point is, Netflix's Three Body Problem, it's good. I would like to see a second season, because I feel like it's just kind of ramping up. They sort of, it's weird. The first scene of the second book is like the first scene of the season finale in the anime. Hi, it's me, Chris Dunn, here in the edit. I know what you're thinking. Did he just say anime when he meant Netflix adaptation? Yeah, he did. He did. He did do that, and we're just gonna move on. We're just gonna keep going, okay? Relax. And like it feels like we're gonna get into some real fun sci-fi stuff soon. So I'd like to see season two. And that was Chris Dunn reviews a Netflix show that he binged in an entire day. Because apparently his life allows for that kind of thing. It doesn't, but he makes allowances that he will suffer for. But the person who is going to suffer for them is not the person I am now. That's the person I'll be in a little bit. And that's his fucking problem. Welcome, everybody, to Life in the World to Come. I'm Chris Dunn, and Will couldn't be here this week. He's simply too busy fucking my wife. If you download this episode and really pump up the audio and kind of clarify it, really kind of just sort of make it really crisp, you'll be able to hear the faint sounds of bodies colliding, and that's Will making sweet love to my beautiful wife, while I sleep on the couch. I'm doing this in the dead of night. I'm under the covers. I have to speak quietly so they can't hear me. They get mad at me if I make sounds while they're making love. I hope Will's okay with this one. This is definitely, I mean, he definitely comes off cooler here than he normally does in the solo episodes, where I say he, like, I don't know, he got like in a Ski-Doo accident. Or, like, I don't know, he always, like, I don't know why, but, like, I feel like in all the solo episodes, I always say that Will is gone because he got into some kind of, like, just, like, rich guy accident. And, like, I really make it seem like Will has more money than he does based on the incredibly wealthy accidents I imagine up for him. But it wasn't an accident this time. He was making love to my wife. And I feel like he wouldn't like that. I feel like he's going to listen to this and, like, he will like that less than if I had hospitalized him. But it's too late. I've established canon. So enjoy yourself, big man. You know? Hope you're happy. What the fuck is this episode already? No self-doubt. No nothing. We're just going to crank it. We're going to get this solo episode out of the way. All right. So this is a podcast that I do. Usually with my buddy Will, when he isn't otherwise occupied, where we where we answer your sweet little questions about what life is going to be like after the bombs drop, after it all goes to shit, you know, when your house is a desert and you're crawling around the cracked earth looking for cans of beans and gas. You know, what's the best way to do that? I'm going to tell you today. All right. Let's do this. Let's get into questions. Okay, our first question. I rediscovered whoopee cushions in my closet from when I was younger, and that got me thinking. What will whimsical old fashioned pranks be like in the world to come? Thanks, Roswell. Well, Roswell, farting in the modern day is considered very, very rude. And in the apocalypse, it's going to be even ruder because of all the ghosts that live in your bowels. Every time you fart, I got another text. You run the risk of unleashing a horde of specters upon the earth, Ghostbuster style. Every person, every time they fart, and you're going to want to, you know, you're going to want to fart. But there's an intense social contract. Like, if somebody does this even once, you know, we got to kill them. We got to kill them right away so that we also kill all the ghosts that are in their bowels. Because we don't want a Ghostbusters Age of Ice style apocalypse. Is that the name of the new Ghostbusters movie that's coming out? The one with, like, I'm just gonna press the silent button on my computer. What the fuck was I saying? The point is that you can't fart because it's very rude, but also extremely dangerous for everyone around you. So, like, I feel like the whoopee cushion specifically, less of a harmless prank, more of like a way of like dethroning your lord. You know, you're in the communal longhouse, and the leader of your village is like putting on some kind of feast to celebrate a hunt, and he sits down in his throne of bones, and what's that? Oh, it's a big fart. It's a big fart. The chief farted our leader. We worship him, and he did something so obscene and ridiculous. And he farts in front of his entire court. No one can take him seriously anymore. And so they gut him where he stands. The whole village turns against him in that exact moment, and they rip him to pieces. And you watch from the side, knowing that before all this, you secured your place as his successor. So it's kind of like, it's less, whoopee cushions are less of a thing for, like, cute little pranksters, and more of like a sort of like a thing that Jafar would use, I guess. All right, so that's a minute of content. That's the problem with these fucking solo ones, is that I'm gonna have to do like 60 questions. Whatever, let's get to it then. Okay, next question. Okay, our next question is, dear Chris and Will, Seder, I'm assuming that's a person. Oh no, that's a person from the Discord. I remember that. Oh, this sucks. Okay. Dear Chris and Will, Seder recently had a dream about a live Life in the World to Come event where they were bullied by Will. Is this going to be a continuous problem in the world to come? Will Will continue bullying people in their dreams? No. No, Will is a kind man with a kind heart, and he doesn't have the stomach to do what needs to be done. But I do. And I've already started. That was me in that dream. I entered your friend's mind. In an elaborate Will disguise, in an attempt to just like to very subtly, through the art of dream manipulation, just kind of make people lose trust in him, because you know he's a dirty home wrecking piece of shit. He fucked my wife, and now I'm doing what I feel I need to do, in order to balance the scales, which is invent an incredible machine, that lends me shed my corporeal body, enter an astral form, and kind of dip myself into the collective unconsciousness, and then enter people's dreams, where I tell them to give me their fucking lunch money. I enter their dreams and be like, I'm gonna hang you upside down and shake you if you don't give me like $4.30. That you were going to spend on a small carton of milk. Okay? You know, and we're, look, both of you and I, I'm, you know, I'm assuming, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to assume we're both grown adults. So I could ask you for more, you know? I could really try to threaten you out of more money, but that's not what I want. I want, all I want is enough money to buy a children's cafeteria lunch. Because I'm 30, and I'm trying to reconnect with that part of myself. I feel like if I eat like some square pizza and an ice cream sandwich and a small strawberry milk from a carton, maybe I'll stop having just like weird back pains. I didn't think it was a back pain guy. I thought it was a knee pain guy, but no, it turns out I'm both actually. It's a thing. Just like just weird shooting pains in my sides every now and then. Pretty sure it's a back issue. One of these days, a doctor is going to listen to this fucking podcast and tell me what I have. And I'm dreading that day because I don't want to know. But yeah. So look, is it going to be a continuous problem? I don't know. But you know what is a continuous problem? Your mom. Because she won't get out of my bed chambers. But also this is Will talking right now. Hi, I lied. It's been Will the whole time. And I'm having sex with your... I'm going to have sex with your mom, loser. Give me your lunch money. I feel like I lost the plot on this one. It started out as a mission to slander Will. But then by the end of it, I was just kind of like, yeah, I'm into this. I like bullying. I need lunch money. I kind of lost track of my motivation. But I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, good. Question answered. Eventually, the I don't know what I'm doing energy of the solo episodes is going to stop being cute. It might have stopped already. And if that's the case, then you just come back next week. Just come back next week. We'll be back, and it'll be good. Guy, I can't fucking talk today. Okay, next question. It's raining outside, and I can see out my window. There's a bunch of little black birds, resting on like a power line. Under the roof of my neighbor's house to get out of the rain. I don't know what kind of birds they are. They're black, but I don't think they're like corvids. They have kind of like pigeon-shaped heads, but black feathers. But anyway, there's like a bunch of them, and like there's this one, and it's like kind of sitting next to his or her friend on his little wire, and he keeps taking like the teeniest tiny little hops closer to his friend. He's just kind of, by very tiny increments, just like getting closer and closer to his buddy. And it's nice. And it's cute. And sometimes that's enough. Sometimes you just need a nice, cute little thing. I'm looking at him close. I just saw one in better light. And it might be a crow. Its beak looks a little small to be a crow, but I don't know. Anyway, okay, questions. Okay, dear Christopher and William, I work in a convenience store. Recently, an old man who comes in has been telling me all these strange conspiracy theories, such as the moon landing being fake because space isn't real, because heaven is in the way. He also rants about me needing to accept God. In the world to come, will these unique worldviews aid the old man in any way? Has he been right the whole time? Okay, so off the top of my head, I don't have great advice for what you should do post-apocalypse. But I do have a pretty, I think what would be a pretty fun idea to do now, which is make sure that it's a shift where you're not the only person there. Maybe recruit a couple friends, have them like milling about the store when this happens and wait for the old man to come in. Then you get another different friend to come in dressed as the devil. And I'm not talking like low effort. I'm talking like Dave Grohl in Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny. I'm talking Tim Curry in Legend. Like that, like fucking dressed like that, okay? So he walks in. The devil enters your convenience store and nobody reacts. you just gaslight this guy. He's the only one who can see the devil. And then just, like, have your friend, like, you know, order some, like, some gummy worms or something. And just, like, ring him up. And, but just, like, the whole time, just refuse. Don't let this guy know that you also realize that this guy's the devil. That's my, that's, I think that that's my plan. That's what I would do. Just because I hate it when strangers do this. I hate it when strangers are, like, confidently wrong at you when you didn't volunteer for it. You know? Like, what a cowardly move. What a cowardly move to, like, to try to convince someone of your conspiracy theories who is, like, working at a checkout counter at a store you go to. It's cowardly. That person is obligated to, like, smile and nod and be polite to you. Like, the person at the checkout counter is not going to tell you that space is real. That's not their job. In fact, if they did so and you leave and you don't buy stuff, that's bad for them. So, like, yeah, they you of course they're going to put up with you, you coward. Go to a college. Go to an accredited university and start saying this shit, you know? Just because, like, I feel like this wasn't a good answer, but it's how I feel. It's how I feel. This guy deserves, like, my, honestly, like, when I first read the question, my gut reaction was grab him by the scruff and slap him until he learns not to come into your store. But that's not an option. You can't do that. I don't know why I'm so mad at this guy. This is just, like, I guess this is just, like, I'm finding out that this is a pet peeve for me. I'm just, like, because you didn't ask to have a conversation with this man. You didn't sign up for this. You just came in and was like, convert to my religion. Also, space isn't real. You know? Fuck that. Fuck him. You know what? I take back the whole dress up as the devil plan. That sounds expensive and complicated. Just grab him by the scruff and slap him. And then if he complains to your manager, just tell your manager that the guy's fucking crazy, you know? Lie. Just lie. Say he slapped you. This is what you do. You grab him by the scruff, you slap the shit out of him. And then you slap yourself as hard as you can. Hard enough to, like, give you a black eye. And then you start crying and run to your manager. And then you have the guy arrested. And you erase all the security footage. That's my serious, legally sound suggestion for you. How to deal with this problem. Okay. All right. Yeah. Next question. All right. Hey, Chris and Will. What's autism diagnosis going to be like in the world to come? Will it still be expensive as hell? Thanks, Mars. Well, Mars, the good news is that it will be free of charge. The bad news is, in order to get it, you will have to scale the highest peak of the highest mountain in all the land. So that's kind of the trade-off. You know, I don't know a ton about autism, so I don't know if that is something that sounds bad or, like, exciting to you, but that is how you have to do it. We'll be free of charge. That said, you are probably going to have to hire a Sherpa. So I guess it depends, like, on, you know, like, what's more expensive, like a modern day autism diagnosis or, like, hiring a local to kind of help you scale this sheer rock face. You know, it's not quite as high as Everest, but it's up there. And there's about, I forget what the statistics are, but there's, like, I think, like, at least, there's usually at least, like, 60 deaths a year on the low end. So it's hard. But if you get to the top, free autism diagnosis. So, you know, you get to see whether or not you have autism. And that'll be good. All right, next question. All right. Hi, Chris and Will. In the apocalypse, I intend to become a traveling bard slash wizard of sorts. And I got me wondering, what song should I learn to play the... Listen. Stop making plans. Okay? Right off the bat, you already have an idea in your mind of what things are going to be like after the bombs go off, and that you've already, that's your first mistake, all right? Like, okay, let's say you invest all this time and energy into bard stuff, doing little dances, purchasing jingly little outfits, singing songs, playing instruments, and then when the bombs go off, you mutate and your throat closes up. And, like, some other stuff also happens so that you don't, like, need oxygen anymore, but your throat closes up and you're no longer capable of creating sounds with your mouth. There's no vocal cords. There's just, like, kind of like a solid wall of flesh there, right? Nothing to vibrate. And you don't have any arms or legs anymore, so you can't do little dances. And you live underwater. That's part of it. It's a whole complicated thing, but you live underwater. And so even if you could do a little jig, there isn't any air for the sound to travel through. So the little bells you've attached to your clothing are worthless. They're trash now. All of this could happen to you. I'm not saying it's going to, but it's just as likely to happen as anything else. So what are you going to do then? You know? So don't make plans, right? You can't... Don't invest in your idea of what the future is going to be. When you don't know what the future is going to be, right? Could be a big waste of time. What you should be doing is you should crawl into your bed and hide under the covers and completely cut yourself off from the outside world, right? You're allowed to keep two apps on your phone, whatever app you use to listen to this podcast, and like Uber Eats or something, right? Stop planning, stop preparing. It's a dead giveaway that your head's already in the wrong place. Just do exactly what we tell you and nothing else, and everything will be fine. Give up on your dreams now and improvise cool new dreams once you understand what the stakes are. You know, because look, I feel like we've taken this down a depressing path, and it doesn't have to be that, you know, like once all of your arms and legs are gone, you live underwater and your throat's a bunch of flesh. It's just a solid wall of flesh that if you cut through it, it would be like cutting through an erase. Your throat's that now. But like, yeah, that all of that is true. And you can't be a bard. But who knows, you know, who knows what your life is going to be like at that point? You know, your priorities are going to be different. Everything's going to be different. Your throat is going to be very different. And so it's better to work from there. Don't. Oh God, this fight. I gotta fight. Mute this. Don't worry about the future. Okay. When the future comes, you just gotta. You gotta know how to roll with it. I guess. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Hey, bros, I have a deep, irrational, and sometimes debilitating anxiety over my own teeth. I get terribly paranoid they will crumble, someone will pull them out, etc. Will this paranoia towards my own teeth beset me or prove advantageous in the world to come? This is an interesting question, right? Because I would love to tell you that you have nothing to worry about. And you probably don't have anything to worry about. Like, there are only so many situations in which it would be in which these anxieties, I think, would be justified. You know, in which you would have something to worry about. Until you do. You know what I mean? Like, your teeth probably aren't a threat. Your teeth probably aren't going to, like, burrow inside your skull until they reach your brain. And then kind of wiggle their way in there and start controlling your thoughts, trying to get you to drink more milk, eat more calcium. You probably don't have to worry about that, but can I promise you 100% that you're not going to have to worry about that? I don't know. like, I would love to put a salve on this wound, right? Like, I would love to, like, sit you down with a warm cup of cocoa and say, hey, your teeth are fine. You're probably not going to lose your teeth. Your teeth probably, your teeth aren't going to do anything weird, like going into your brain, making you eat more dairy. But I can't do that, you know? That would be irresponsible of me to promise you that. So, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, don't freak out. Don't freak out, because I don't think you have any more reason to worry than anybody else. But I'm not going to say you don't have any reason to worry. So don't freak out, but, like, keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on your teeth, you know? Just, like, maybe next time you're brushing your teeth in the mirror, you know, you're mid-brush, and you just go, ah! You know, you make a loud noise. See if you startle them, right? See if they drop the facade for a second and wiggle around. Check, see if everything's okay. If they don't, it's fine. But watch close, because you don't know, they might. At any second, I feel like I can hear people walking around outside. And the thing about my apartment is that when you're in the apartment, you can't really hear what's happening in the other apartments. But when you're standing in the hall, you can hear everything that's happening in all the apartments. So, you know, just one of several reasons why we usually record at Will's. I'm sane. I'm a sane man. If anyone out there is listening to this. Okay, hello. I was at a coding cafe, and I saw your doppelgangers. I know it wasn't you, because no way Chris Dunn would struggle with a dictionary containing different control schemes in another polymorphic dictionary. Anyway, how will doppelgangers be affected in the world to come? Thank you. First of all, before we do anything else, you do not see a doppelganger of me at a coding cafe. What you saw was a guy at a coding cafe. Walk into any coding cafe in this great nation, and you will find 4 to 6 quote-unquote doppelgangers of Chris Dunn just sitting around doing whatever it is they're doing. I didn't choose to look like this. This is just what certain people like me look like. So to answer your question, do I even have an answer to your question? I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead. This is the interesting thing about doppelgangers is that, no, there won't be, but there also won't be any mirrors, right? So, like, there's no way for you to know whether or not the person you look at, you're looking at, looks anything like you. You know, there's no mirrors. All the mirrors got shattered in the initial shockwave, right? So there's no way to check. So you can just walk up to somebody and be like, I'm you. I feel like I've said this before, but I'm you. I look exactly like you. You see this? You see what I look like? I have like a shark's body and a couple more legs than I feel like I should. And so do you. You also look like that. You won't know if they're lying to you or not. So it's interesting. And look, I haven't, just off the top of my head, I haven't really found a good use for this deception, but, like, it would work, you know? So I'll just kind of put that out into the community, open source style, to see if there's anything, you know. I did the first couple steps. Now let's see where you all take it. Okay. And 33 minutes. Okay, 7 more minutes, and this is technically long enough for a solo episode. Let's do this. Yeah! All right, second wind. You know, it did just occur to me the optics of having an episode called The Series Finale, and then immediately following that up with a solo episode. I hope that there are conspiracy theories. Okay. Hi there, Chris and Will. I passed by the Lego store the other day, and it gave me an idea for a question. Will Legos still be so insanely expensive in the world to come? Will they finally be affordable after the economy crashes? After the revolution, Lego will be the first to go. The citizens of... Fuck, what country is fucking... Where do they make Legos? The people of Denmark... Wait, is that right? Mold is manufactured around the world. Where is it from? Where did they start? Where did they? I need to know for this one detail, for this fucking, they're Dutch, right? They're fucking Dutch or something. The people of Denmark will rise up against their oppressors, and they will redistribute the Legos among the masses. Everyone will be given Legos in accordance with their need. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's it. You know, Lego communism. Okay, dear Crisp Run and Wellwood. Why did reading that take so much energy out of me? I feel so drained reading that. I didn't like that. I really didn't like that. Why didn't I like, dear Crisp Run and Wellwood, recently I have contracted listeria. What diseases will run rampant in the world to come, and how will we combat them? Listen, the only diseases you're going to be suffering from are diseases of the mind, all right? Fucking little diseases I like to call participation trophyitis. You understand? You know, you might wake up one morning and immediately vomit all over your chest. And you look in that vomit and you're like, is that a piece of my lung? It is. It's a little piece of your lung. And you might think that it's because you're sick. Because of that man who accosted you in the night while you were looking for beans. While you were looking for beans and he held you by the scruff and he opened your mouth and he coughed into it. You might think it's a disease from that, but it's not. Okay, you just need to buck up and hit the gym. Okay? You know? Any pain is in the mind. Pain is just in the mind. And so you just have to tell your mind not to feel pain. And then what is it even? What even is that? This is a fun fact, is that pain doesn't exist for a reason. If you feel pain, that's just weakness leaving the body. And if you then continue to feel pain as if the weakness hasn't left your body, that just means that there is more weakness that you just need to kind of stoically muscle through. So fucking suck it up. I don't know what listeria is. I hope it's not incredibly serious and deadly. Or I'm gonna feel bad. How do you spell that? What is it? Listeria. Yeah. Listeria. What is that? Contracted with listeria. Include fever, muscle aches, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Development include headache, stiff neck. Was listeria? What is listeria? For me, listeria. I really want to have to edit this, so I'm just kind of making noises while I Google listeria. Listeria is a genus of bacteria that acts as a parasite in males. Animals. What happens if you get listeria? Foodborne illness. Chills, headache. Yeah, no, this is fine. You don't really have that. You know, yeah. Yeah, it's not serious, so it's just you being a pansy, and you need to go for it, and you need to fucking go to the gym and see if you can't get a new personal PR on the bench press. Is my advice. Alright. Yeah, fuck it, I'll answer this one. Just how many hot femboy twink licenses are the alien shadow government going to hand out in the world to come? I need to know my chances. Listen, good news, bad news, as usual. They're going to be handing these things out like hotcakes. Their standards are going to be so low. Fucking everyone who even kind of qualifies as a hot femboy twink is going to be given one of these licenses. And the fucked up thing is that you're not going to get one. They're not for you. You're not going to get one. And you want to know why? Is because by the time they finally start handing out these licenses, you're no longer going to be a hot little femboy twink. You're going to be a femman twink. You're going to be a grown femman. and you're not going to be applicable. You're not going to be a, you know, you're not going to be, you're not going to be able to apply for the license. And that's, you know what, I honestly, I think that's sad. I think it's fucked up. I think it's ageist, but I'm not the one, you know, I'm not the one making these decisions. You're going to have to write into Alien Shadow Congress, if you want to, you know, take it up with them. But that's just how it is. You're going to age out. You're going to age out and you're going to become a femme man twink. Maybe a hot femme man twink, but like, I'm not going to pass judgment on that. You know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Which is part of why they're so willing to hand these out, generally speaking, is because, you know, what we see as hot is not going to be the same as it is now. It's going to be much broader, but you are, unfortunately, they're very strict about it being femme boys. And by then, you know, it'll be time for you to, put aside childish things and live the life of a femme man, you know? All right. We hit 40 minutes. That's good. Thanks everybody for listening to Life in the World to Come for this fun little solo ep, just me and you hanging out together, you know? You know, usually Will's here, fucking taking up space. But now it's just you and me. I'm happy that we've been able to, you know. So let me just take your hand for a second. You know, it's nice that we've been able to get to know each other like this. And I hope we get to do it again. You know, I had a really good time, and So you wanna? I mean, we could split a cab. Or, I hate this. Okay, our intro and outro music is We Are the Hellhounds. If you'd like to send us a question, you can do so on Discord or at lifeintheworldtocome@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/lifeintheworldtocome. Or you can buy our merch at lifeintheworldtocome.bigcartel.com. Is that all the things? Who cares? Thanks everybody. Thanks everybody.